Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Ladies and gentlemen, our long national nightmare is over. No, they are not passing term limits in Congress. The national nightmare of no football is over. We've got real football starting this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It is your host, Jordan, in San Antonio this week, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Gentlemen, 1 week, how we doing?
Good, man. I totally forgot to put on my tank shirt for Ray, who said he was going to buy me a Rock of the Marne t-shirt. So as much as I want the old Rock of the Marne t-shirt, I do have to change when we get to Rob doing the commercial. But other than that and the damn technical issues, I'm all good.
All righty. Rob, the angry colonel. Awesome.
Yeah, so speaking of the broken TV set, you know, many people from Third ID are happy that deployments have stopped because there's like a kid that like made specialists like 14 times that deployed like seven. And so I can definitely understand that the Rock of the Marne, a lot of great history with that organization. But I think Roundtable went well yesterday. We had Mark the Witty Mitty on. So if you guys haven't heard that, I think you should go check it out. That was a pretty good show. Even with the technical issues with Joe, I mean, he ended up outside in the woods. We were waiting for him to get nabbed by like Sasquatch while he was on the call. But definitely, it was a good opportunity to kind of just talk about what's happening this weekend. And then Dave Bethel, who is the 76th Navy grad that I know, texted me. He's like, hey, I'm en route to Dublin. So I will text you and send you photos and all that other good stuff when he gets back. So we'll probably have some insider info on the Navy game across the pond, but I will pause there.
It's too much Navy stuff. I mean, listen, I like Mark. He's a good guest on the show. He's like quite a congenial rival, and I'm happy to work with him again. I'd like to have him on the show again because I think he's a good guest. But yo, it's been a lot of Navy, and we need some actual Army football.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure. I'm over that mess.
It's time. How's Navy getting to Ireland? I mean, they're not going to fly Aer Lingus.
And submarine with any goddamn luck.
Well,
okay. Yeah, I hear they bought a boat. It's called Titanic 2.0.
Oh, okay. What could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing at all.
Yeah.
All right,
Rob, so why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
All right, so our sponsor, we've had these guys for about a year. If you're not familiar with BuyerBarn.com,
Dano!
Yeah, we're showing some skin here.
Whoa, all right, okay, so all right. Watch our new podcast on OnlyFans.com featuring Dano E. Cabeza.
Yes. Anyway, back to the reading. So we have a sponsor at asforfootball.com is BuyerBarn. BuyerBarn is co-founded by my classmate, Dan Robinson. He's a class of 97 graduate. Dan ran a traditional co-op and animal farm auction and realized there's got to be a better way of doing this and tried to bring those animal auctions into the 21st century. He and his co-founder, Dinu, took their experience in IT management and development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction and sales platform. The upside to BuyerBarn is it provides reduced health through increased health and reduced health issues by reducing overall animal to owner contact, reduced animal fraud through a buyer and raider selling system, fully integrated auction platform with secure payments, and it's convenient to buy and sell at your own time. So you can set up your auction and then sell it whenever. And then the last part of it is, you know, you get better market pricing because you get a wider audience. It's doing something for eBay, Vice, selling something at a yard sale, you're going to get better prices because you're going to have a wider audience to potentially sell to. Either way, BuyerBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and are providing a special discount to military veterans who want to assist them in the small family farm growth and auctions. Go to BuyerBarn.com or email them at info@BuyerBarn.com for more information, or you can always go to the Ask for Football website. Anyway, we'll pass it back over to Jordan.
So, Rob, we love BuyerBarn. BuyerBarn is fantastic. They're a great sponsor. But if we're being honest, you know, what we just saw from Dan, if we could make money off of that right there, you know, we might not need sponsors anymore.
That is true. That is true.
For those of you that are listening to this and didn't watch what Dan just let us all experience, you'll have to watch the video. Anyway, moving on. Army Sports Update. Women's soccer drew with Wake Forest on the road. Final score 1-1. Army led most of the game. Deacons tied it with about 10 minutes left to play. Outstanding result on the road against a Power 5 team. Women's soccer has really come a long way. For being honest, women's sports at the academy have really come a long way in the last 5 years. NFL update. Cole Christensen led the Chiefs with 8 tackles, 5 solo in their preseason win over the Cardinals. Johnny Nation, a.k.a. John Rattigan, 5 tackles and a tackle for loss in the Seahawks win over Dallas. Andre Carter made 3 tackles for the Vikings against the Titans. And Steelers safety Elijah Riley had an interception, 2 passes defended, and 2 tackles in Pittsburgh's win over Buffalo. These guys all look like they're going to make their respective teams this season. 1 or 2 might wind up on the practice squad, but we have, you know, quite a bit of talent. What, that's that? 4 guys who are playing, getting reps, and making meaningful contributions at the next level. So awesome. Good for those guys. Good for the program. Good for the academy. Speaking of the academy, Army held its second scrimmage this past Saturday. Per Sal, your current starting lineup on offense, quarterback Bryson Daly, he was actually named the starter this week. On the offensive line, we have Booby Law, Jackson Filipowicz, Brady Small at center, Connor Finucane, and then Sean Buckingham. Coach Munkin noted after the scrimmage that the starters on the offensive line are not set. Dan, do you think he's referring to, hey, we might swap some people out, or hey, we might swap some people in positions?
He said, if I understood him correctly, he said that they have something like 8 or 9 offensive linemen that they like and that they're just not sure sort of how they're going to go. I think that this was Brady Small's first work with the starters at center, so they might have just been trying him out to see how that would work. You know, I don't know, man. It's a long season, and if I know anything about Army football, you're going to see a few different iterations of this over the course of the season. Sure. There's definitely some guys on there that we know can play. So, I'm excited just off the top of my head to see Booby Law and Connor Finucane play this season.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I think you're right. We're probably going to see a different starting five week in and week out. So depending on who's healthy and what scheme they're running. In the backfield, we have Miles Stewart. Stewart, according to reports, looks really good in this offense, but he's going to split time with Tyson Riley and Jacoby Buchanan. We have Asian Marshall at slot wide receiver, Isaiah Alston and Casey Reynolds at wide receiver, and then Josh Lingenfelter at tight end. Rob, do you want to take us through the defense?
Yeah, sure. So starting defense, as for Sal, the defensive line is Kyle Lewis at the nose guard. You got Austin Hill and Chris Frey playing defensive end. So we're looking at a 3-4 set this season. You know, that will adjust, of course, as always. Linebackers are Leo Lowen and Spencer Jones. Apache is Jimmy Charlo, and the edge rush will be Trey Sophia. Safety Casey Larkin and Quindrell Hellmans will be starting, and then you have Cam Jones and Jabari Moore. I mean, defense looks really solid. A lot of experience on the defense returning, and guys that were able to get into games throughout the course of the season. Some unknown players, you know, if you watch the rosters, there's some new guys new names that are popping up. But so far, so good, and everybody's pretty much communicating that the team is looking pretty well. Defensive lineman looks real good. Everybody says Jones looks good back in the lineup. Army fans will remember him filling in for Rattigan in the bowl game against West Virginia, and he was injured most of the season last season. Not totally surprised that Army's offense had trouble running against this group. I mean, the guys are sharp, and you know your strengths and weaknesses is like fighting with your little brother in the backyard. With that said, you know, he felt that the first team offense was catching up with the defense. And, you know, Sal also noted that 90% of the running plays in this scrimmage, or 90% of the plays in this scrimmage, were running. So, I mean, if you guys were thinking that we were transitioning to an air raid offense, you will be disappointed. And again, final note, Army recruited a 6'3 punter in this year's class. It looks like he might start. Dude was supposed to be booming kicks in the scrimmage. And, you know, Coach Munkin likes his punters beefy. And, to be quite honest, I think that's a kind of a standard across the board of punters these days. Like usually the ones that are the, like the guy that looks least like a punter is probably the best punter that you can get. So I will pause there, but I think that's a pretty common thing that I've seen throughout football. And you know, the Pat McAfee's are perfect examples of big dudes that can boot the ball like halfway across the field.
Dan, are you surprised that 90% of the plays we're running are run plays and not pass plays?
No. Everybody was like, oh my God, Army's going to throw more. And I'm like, are they? You know, this, the old Nebraska Kearney offense was putting up 450 rushing yards per game. Like, those dudes run the crap out of the ball. I am not surprised. Like, we're not into fact or fiction next week, but I'm just telling you, fact or fiction, plus or minus five passes. That's mine. I've already got it set.
Ooh. Yeah, bold, that's bold prediction. And quite that frankly, I think like when the offense is coming out, you know, again, if you haven't watched, you know, what video that you can see, go back and watch the Ukerny freaking plays, man. Like they run a lot. It's quarterback running back centric. But they do a lot of motion, a lot of jet motions, a lot of sweeps that way. And so it's not like, you know, oh, we're completely abandoning the rushing offense. And again, Coach Thatcher has said it over and over and over again. It's like, hey, we want to be able to throw the ball when we want to. So you want to be able to throw on schedule, not because you're behind. And, you know, and given the way that the offense looks and some of the plays that are designed in the scheme, you're going to see a lot more folks breaking loose in the secondary just because there's so much misdirection. And now you're doing misdirection in space. So imagine running a triple option, but you're actually 7 yards away from the center, and you still have the four options to go with. You got the quarterback, you got the running back, you got receiver that's short, and a receiver that's deep. I mean, it's still option offense. It's just a different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point, Rob. It'll be interesting. You know, Dan, I know we're not doing fact or fiction, but, you know, plus or minus five passes, I don't know. It's you know, part of it is because we don't know what this offense is really going to look like. The other part of it is, okay, well, if we listen to what the coaches are telling us and that's, hey, we're going to run the ball,
right?
You would be inclined to think, you know, less, but you never know. So
listen, Bryson Daly's a beefy kid, man. He looks like Bradshaw out there. Like that's his strength. He's got my man is running between the tackles, bowling dudes over. Like he is a beefy dude. He can throw. I've never actually seen him throw a pass I thought was an amazing, awesome looking pass. I'm not saying he can't throw. I'm sure that he can throw, but dude, he's a beefy guy and he watch him run the ball. Like that dude runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, really, just to see, not that we had an over-reliance on the fullback dive previously, but it's going to be interesting to see how what it looks like what percentage of plays are, you know, midline right versus how much we're stringing out to the outside.
Yeah, I think there's – it merits the discussion. I think, again, I want to pass – some more, you know, I think everybody wants to see us pass more successfully and not in desperation. And I think that's one of the things that you've seen in the past when Army has had to throw, you know, with the exception of the few years that we had Kelvin Hopkins, it wasn't very accurate. And it was always a nail biter, like, oh, here we go. Are they going to throw a pick or is it going to be incomplete? You know, and that was kind of, that was kind of the overall feeling that you would get every time Army would drop back to pass, or it was a play action and it was completely a surprise. And everybody's like, oh, crap. And there, you know, there goes a streaking Isaiah Alston down the sidelines because the defense has been stacked in the box so much and they've just been lulled to sleep and they fall into that false sense of security. And then we go deep. But I legitimately think I'm hopeful. I wouldn't be surprised if they run, you know, 40, 50 times in the game. That wouldn't surprise me, you know. But yeah. I think, you know, you got to throw a pass in there occasionally to keep them honest. So.
You know, it's like your spice bay or whatever. You just got to like sprinkle some passes in here and there. But before we keep going down this kind of offensive preview, Dan's going to take us through. I want to hit some of these comments. One is taking a boat / sub to Dublin would have them actually acknowledging their servicemen for once. It's a fair comment. Logistically, I'm not sure how that would play out, but it's fair. and then kind of tag teaming on that, let's talk about the Zumiez terrible Army uniforms. So for those of you not tracking, up until like, what was it? Like 1950 something, the Air Force was the Army Air Corps Department of the Army. So because of that, our friends in Colorado, when they honor previous iterations of the quote Air Force, is actually honoring the Army. So what they did was the Doolittle Raid, and which, for those of you that don't know, Doolittle was taking off and B-52 bombers from carriers, and this was before they had slingshots and stuff like that. And there's some great movies on it to bomb kind of Tokyo in central Japan, which was thought previously to not be possible. He was able to do it. Really great, historically accurate. Air Force has some great uniforms. Everybody kind of liked the uniforms. And then they started posting these really weird tweets about how many people got killed or how much was destroyed, or just, they were just weird and kind of tone deaf. And there's actually been quite a bit of criticism about, okay, why is the American military, glamorizing and trying to profit off of an attack on what is now a very staunch ally in the Pacific. Not really a great look of, hey, look how many Japanese we killed. By the way, you should go buy our new shirt. It's really cool. Rob, I know you have thoughts.
Yeah. So my whole thing on this is like Air Force doesn't have any heroes, right? When they grow up as a service, then they might be able to have some folks that are actually recognizable. There's tons of people in the Air Force doing great jobs every day. Nobody's going to argue that. We thank you for your service. But when you talking about historical interactions of the Air Force, many of them are still tied to the Army, particularly during World War II, because they were still part of the Army during World War II. And I think the main thrust of it is like, you can honor the men that served in the Doolittle organization, that served on the Doolittle Raid. You could talk about, hey, these guys assumed great risk for their nation to fly across the water in unknown territory to do this mission that nobody had ever done before because we thought it was impossible, and they did it. Hooray. Slap yourself on the back, high fives on the objective. That part is cool. Glamorizing, the death of tens of thousands of people, not a good look, and I think that's just basically it. Like, there are some tremendous things that soldiers do every day. People in uniform do it all the time, do good stuff, but there's also the parts that we don't want to talk about. But you can still honor, people's service and not talk about, all the dastardly things that happened, like Sergeant Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy was a stud. What happened to him when he got back? The guy was kind of a drunk, I mean, you have to be able to take the good, the bad, and don't glamorize the bad things, but you want to honor the good things. And hopefully that on the scale of history, that the good things outweigh the bad things. And I think they took something that could have potentially been good and kind of poo-pooed it because they were like, oh yeah, we destroyed X. Nobody wants to hear that.
Took it a little too far. Like, the uniforms were cool, talking about, the achievement, that's cool. But like, they just took it a little too far, talking about absolute ambush like that.
It's difficult,
especially since, Oppenheimer just came out and that was not really well received in Japan. So you would have thought that, like, based on the reaction to that movie, the Air Force Academy would have been like, maybe we tone this down a little bit.
Yeah, but their Air Force Academy. It's difficult to glamorize bombing anyway. I mean, necessary evil. I mean, let's just be honest. It's a necessary evil. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to be like, yay, let's go out there and bomb the crap out of this thing. I mean, it's a part of war. It definitely happens. And that Doolittle raid was a necessary thing for American morale. However, here we are after the fact, almost a century, and it's just a tough look. That's all.
Yeah. Well, a little differently.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll say to kind of put a pin on this is like, look, you can actually talk about it and do something like that. Look at Top Gun Maverick, right? They were able to do this. That was one of the most American movies ever made, and undescript country that we had to attack and do the mission on. Right. And so that was by design, of course, to make the movie international, but it was also pretty well thought out. So it's like, hey, look, if we want this thing to be as popular as it can be, in the US and all over the world, let's just focus on the characters that are executing the mission and not so much the mission itself. And that, I mean, Like, you watched it play out. Like, so if you're listening, Air Force PR guy, go back and watch Top Gun Maverick and figure out how to market your stuff without, like, dunking on, you know, a fellow nation that is now an ally. But yeah. I'll pause there.
You talk about how great it is. You can talk about the mission, but, like, you don't really need to, like, dwell on how the outcome. It's, we get it. Thank you. So, moving on from that, last comment we have here is Bryson Daly's dad, say that three times fast, said that the kid can throw. That is a biased source. Dan, let's kick it over to you for the offensive preview.
I believe that he can throw. I choose to believe.
I believe.
So listen, I was hoping we'd have James on here to do a little offensive preview. I have read the draft of his article that is going to lay out the offense. It's a great draft. Unfortunately, he spent something like 28 of the last 36 hours in the air. And so we just haven't gotten that thing out. You know, very briefly, it is essentially the same triple option that you're used to out of the shotgun, and they're still reading the same keys, be it a defensive tackle or a defensive end. You know, there are kind of like midline option versions where you can hand off to a running back instead of the fullback, who's then going to run like a zone dive play, or else have the quarterback keep and run like a quarterback keeper. I don't know if that's so much a follow play now, but definitely there's an inside quarterback keeper, or he can take it outside for a quarterback keeper to the outside, which I think you're going to see more of. And there's a read out there against the safety or a linebacker. And then there's a pitch option, as we've talked about, or an RPO, a run pass option on the outside. And, you know, honestly, if you watch some of these other teams play, like Tulane or Coastal Carolina, you don't see them pitching very often, especially like Tulane. You definitely don't see them pitching to the outside very often. But in some of the scrimmage video that we've seen, they've been pitching it more than I would have expected. So who knows? Maybe that pitch option is going to get used a little bit more than I would have thought. Without James here, I think that's about as deep as I want to go. I mean, I've seen it, but it's a triple option. It's just by being back a little further, they have an extra half second to make that read instead of trying to make it with a guy in their face. I don't know if that's going to be better or worse. You know, Coach Munkin keeps harping on negative plays, not so much from the first team, but from the second team, or, you know, whoever down the depth of on the team. And, you know, he's death on those negative plays. But when you have a new offense and the offensive line blocking a different way and you're running out of the shotgun, like, the potential for negative plays is a little bit more there. So that's definitely something that they got to fix.
Well, we saw it be an absolute disaster in previous years of, you know, someone goes unblocked or they don't pick up the blitz or whatever it is. Yeah. And then it's all of a sudden it's, you know, third and 10 because, or third and 18, because we lost 10 yards because it was unblocked. So I think there is some inherent risk in operating out of the shotgun, but there are also some benefits. So,
well, you know, and there's teams like Duke that have played the under center triple option out of the flex bone a lot, you know, back when Georgia Tech ran it and was in their division, that would blitz the mesh point, you know, the quarterback fullback mesh point, and get penetration and cause negative yardage plays under center. Like, it's not like it's impossible. It's just service academies. I mean, if you don't see the offense very much, then it's hard to play. But there are teams out there that played excellent defense against it. So, yeah. You know, listen, there's nothing easy in football. Winning is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the other part of it is by going to the shotgun or the pistol set and changing the formation, it changes the way that the defense has a scheme around the offense. So, you know, really what you want is you want to be able to execute your plays, but you also want to put your defenders out of position. So if I'm a linebacker and I normally play over the guard or over the center in that guard center gap, if I have a shotgun type offense, I can't be, you know, a yard off the ball. I have to back up because the pass is there. And so just in the necessity of adjusting for the change being under center versus the shotgun, it forces the defense to make adjustments. Now I'm putting two wide receivers out a little bit further away. I'm putting slot backs further out. So now I can't jam everybody in there because all those folks will go uncovered. And if I go, like, you know, cover zero and I don't have a high safety, you know, you're a couple moves away from having a long run, you know, and so, or a long pass. And so I think from a defensive preparation standpoint, it actually makes it a little bit more problematic. Yes, those teams will be, you know, more focused on being able to defend the pass because that's what most offenses are geared towards. But now I have the passing formation that's running a lot. You know, that's not something that's going to be common either. And so I think there's some goodness in it. And I'm hopeful, you know, and I'm a lot more hopeful than I have been in other seasons when there are a lot of unknowns going into the start of the year.
Yeah, good point. All right, Dan, why don't you take us into our next commercial?
Yeah, man. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer, a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. As you know, he is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. Friends, Craig is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can, including super competitive rates at a very confusing time in the whole housing process. You know, this mortgage process thing is nerve-wracking, right? They put 2 inches of paperwork in front of you that you have to sign your life away, and you don't know what all that stuff means. And this is when you want to deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank, not a mindless website, but an actual guy. And that's Craig. And this is, as we've said before, how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get the best deal that we can by introducing you to the mortgage guy that you need to meet if you're trying to buy a house. Plus, and this is important, Craig does not charge a lender's fees for veterans. That's a savings of about $1,300. Like, get that money. Just go get that money. If you don't want it, send it to me. I will take it. I got 2 kids in school. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. Link's on our website. If you fill out a little form, you'll be talking to him a couple of hours. Super easy.
Thanks, Dano. All right, let's wrap up our season preview with the second half, or the back nine, as they say in golf, of our season. So Saturday, October 21st at LSU, no time or network announced yet. This is going to be a tough game. Bottom line, it's, we all know that. However, on October 28th, we play UMass, noon on CBS Sports. The word on the street is that UMass is supposed to be a better team. However, they were the worst team in college football for like 4 years in a row. So I find it hard to believe that they just kind of magically turned everything around. Bottom line, we need to win this game. It should be an easy win, but we'll see what happens. November 4th is Army versus Air Force. It's at Mile High Stadium or Empower Field in Denver. 2:30 kickoff on CBS Sports. Put it in Denver because they're renovating Falcon Stadium. Capacity is down to just 38,000 this season at Falcon Stadium. Really curious to see what they draw on a neutral site, even 2 hours from the regular game. I know my class is doing our class reunion at this game, and I imagine we're not going to be the only ones. So it being in Denver is probably going to make it a lot more accessible for a lot of people with, you know, the fourth busiest airport in the U.S. or whatever it is right there.
That's awesome. Have fun, Jordan.
And yeah, it'll be good. So I'm going to that, but not Army Navy, because we'll talk about that in a second. So November 11th, Holy Cross, noon on CBS Sports. They are the defending Patriot League champs, expected to repeat, made it to the FCS quarterfinals last year. This is the kind of FCS game that most FBS teams don't schedule. And if we're being honest, Army probably would have not scheduled Holy Cross if we also weren't in the Patriot League for other sports. On November 18th, we have Coastal Carolina, noon on CBS. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'd expect you'd rather play Coastal Carolina late in the season instead of early, but we'll see. Dan, when you wrote that, what did you mean by that?
Because Grayson McCall has been a little injury prone as the season has gone on. And, you know, as things go along, he's a lot more apt to make a business decision as he starts to look at his future. You know, he started out red hot last year and then just kind of tailed off. And after he got hurt, they were lousy. Mm-hmm. And the whole team was lousy. And, you know, I expect they're going to come out strong again. But listen, teams can improve. Not every team does improve. And this team definitely did not improve as the season went on last year. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you also got to keep in mind their number one defensive lineman is now in Michigan.
Yeah,
so he hit the transfer portal. So there's a lot of gaps that are hitting Coastal. And again, I think like the first half of the season, they were doing pretty well. And then the second half, not so much. And I think it was due to injury. And then, you know, if I'm a kid like Grayson McCall, I'm seriously considering my future, because I can only rack up so much money for this you know, I can only rack up so much money on this NIL deal here in the lovely redneck Riviera. So we'll see what choice he makes, because again, he has pro potential, and he will probably have to make that decision sometime in the middle of the year, particularly if he gets hurt.
Yeah, good point. So after Coastal, we have 2 bye weeks, and then Saturday, December 9th, Army-Navy, 3 p.m. on CBS, Gillette Stadium outside of Boston. I think I saw this was like one of, if not the most expensive ticket this year.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of demand for it.
Nuts, and man.
In my personal opinion, the rollout release of tickets was an absolute dumpster fire. They like let people know the day before, oh, yeah, we're like 99% sold out. Sorry. And totally mismanaged, in my opinion, but I'm not going to go on that soapbox. Thoughts on our schedule kind of second half of the year?
I mean, I'm really interested to see, like we said, how the Falcons draw in Denver. I was looking on the website when I was working on the guide to Mikey Stadium earlier today, and those tickets are readily available. You can get good seats to Army Air Force for $40. Which is a stark comparison to the minimum $800 that you're going to pay to go to Gillette Stadium. I mean, if we had waited, I ended up getting Army Navy tickets through my buddy who's higher in the A club than I am. And I'm a season ticket holder. I'm at the major level. It's not bad, but I'm just saying we got them through my buddy who's a little higher than that. But if we'd waited, I'm not sure we would have got tickets. And no. I don't think that they got to your level at all, Jordan.
No, I'm a captain. And like literally they sent an email at like 4 o'clock saying, hey, we're 90 something percent sold out. Like,
yeah,
call it's us crazy. Tomorrow morning to up your giving. And then tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. it's like, oh, we're sold out. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, it's we talked about this on the other show in terms of like box office revenue. They could stand and go back to Boston because they clearly left some money on the table.
100%.
Yeah.
Rob.
Sure. Yeah. I think the interesting matchup, you know, LSU is going to be tough, but it's always interesting to see what happens. You know, one, it's survival. We don't want people to get hurt because normally when we play those big, you know, Power Five teams, that's where the injury bug starts to kind of cascade and build onto the team, because like guys are going to get hurt. So, you know, how do you say like, hey, we want you to play your best, but we also don't want you to put, you know, the most talented people on the field to get injured because we still have the second half of the season to go. And I also think it'll be positioned based off of what the record is too. So like if we're 3-3 going into the LSU game, maybe, you know, coach makes some decisions that he wouldn't normally make. Thank God I'm not in the locker room to have to help him make those decisions. But I genuinely think, you know, as you get into those Power Five games, you've got to, you know, there's a little bit of self-preservation in there, particularly knowing that you've got UMass the next week. Hopefully you can either rest guys after a tough game or start some other dudes that, you know, have shown potential and worked out with the first team after that game. And then, of course, Air Force, that's always going to be interesting because, you know, if you listen to Jim Zappelis, he's like that trip to Colorado and the altitude is always a rough one. And so that doesn't matter. Altitude affects everybody relatively equally unless you live there. And so Air Force has a slight advantage in all home games just because of being at the Mile High Stadium. And then, of course, Holy Cross, like you said, like they're a tough team. Like they are legit good. Like I don't think anybody wants to put them or Villanova on their schedule if they're an FBS team, because you can get upset never on that know. One but I think that one's good. And of course Coastal Carolina, you know, I wouldn't mind watching Army roll those guys up, and particularly just because Grayson McCall's not on the field because he's made a choice or is injured that prevents him from playing. I mean, that guy's a stud, but again, there's a lot of holes in the defense because some folks have left, hit the transfer portal, graduation. And so I think Army has a better chance against them early. And again, but we've got to watch at least 2 or 3 games to kind of figure out who's going to do what in the season. And then of course, Army Navy, like I would not be upset to watch a blowout in Boston.
Blowout in Boston. Let's go. Hashtag. Sweet. All right. Fact or fiction time, gentlemen.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
I know it's been a little while since we've done fact or fiction. For those of you that this is your first time or you don't know how we do things here, when we do fact or fiction, each week the three or four of us on the show will have a fact or fiction question that we'll ask the rest of the crew. Everyone will answer fact or fiction. And then after the next week or when we have confirmation that it was a fact or fiction, we will revisit and gloat about who was right and who was wrong. So, Dan, over to you for the first one.
Fact or fiction. Air Force says less than sells. Jeez, I can't talk just like you, Jordan. Air Force sells less than 38,000 tickets for Army Air Force in Denver, despite your class reunion being held in relative Zoomy country. We will start with Rob.
I'm going to say fact, but Army will sell out their half of the tickets.
There's no half, man. They're not even available on the Army site. It's a neutral site game, but it's technically an Air Force home game, and the only way to buy them is through the Air Force Academy right now.
Oh, that's garbage.
Yeah, it really is.
Jordan, say fact too. Like when I got my tickets a couple months ago, and you know, it's like, oh, get your tickets early. Like, and then when I looked at it, just like you, Dan, it's like, oh, you can be in like row 9 for $38 or whatever it is. So
it's nuts. I was looking at, they haven't even opened up the upper deck to the stadium.
Yeah, like it's all lower bowl right now.
Yeah. I mean, I put 38K because that's the number that they could have fit in their own stadium, which I'm sure they would have sold out. But yeah, I'll take that's fact agreement. That stadium might look empty on TV if they're not careful.
It just might. All right. So I didn't know we were doing fact or fiction until I looked at the script and about 14 seconds ago. So I will just go ahead and say it's a little more long term, but fact or fiction, Boston is going to be such a success that we're going to see more offsite being not Philadelphia Army Navy games in the future beyond what's already been scheduled.
Definite fact for that, for me, wild success already. I mean, $800 per ticket. Boston seems psyched. I mean, I don't know what the furthest that they could possibly travel is, but I want to go to Jacksonville, Florida, like someplace warm in December. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, right? Disney, Jacksonville, any of those places. I agree. Fact. I think the fact that they're even having a conversation about it, and it's no longer just a foregone conclusion that it's going to be in Philly, I think that is progress. And then I think, you know, Boston being such a big deal, there's so much demand, so many people are interested. I think a lot of people are going to watch the game too. I think that's going to continue to drive the momentum, and we're going to see it played in non-Philadelphia games in locations. So,
yeah, so my fact or fiction is Army will have 2 passing touchdowns in the first game. Now, I say that given Dan said that they're only going to throw 5 times, so 2 for 5 with 2 touchdowns, I'm down with. So I don't know about you guys, but that works for me.
I will definitely take fiction. They agreed. Yeah, I don't know fiction about that.
Now. And, I would love that, but
While we're talking about other places for them to host Army Navy, Ray Kimball chimes in to say that it has to be busable from West Point and from Annapolis. So you figure 6 hours on the road max. Ray, so, man, I don't know. I you're just not envisioning enough money. I'm seeing a fleet of aircraft to take the Corps of Cadets to Jacksonville. That's all I'm saying. Get some of that Shad Khan money.
Ray, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. However, everything is for sale. Absolutely. And I think that if there is enough demand, and when they go out to do these bids, if the city of Jacksonville, the city of Atlanta, whatever it is, if they're willing to put up money, I think the Academy is going to figure it out. And when I say figure it out, I mean say, screw the cadets. They'll figure it out. So,
I mean, they played in the Rose Bowl one time back in the 70s.
Exactly. So come on. Why not?
Not impossible.
Why not?
Road trip to Chicago.
Yeah.
That'll be nice and cold. Ray says the East Stand isn't fully funded yet, so why would we piss away money on travel? Because we're not going to have to pay for it. That's the city of Jacksonville is going to pay for it.
Ray's arguing with us now. Rose Bowl was done via Mil Air. Can't do that these days. All right, we'll let this go. Ray says it's impossible. The rest of us are skeptical.
I'm a believer.
Put Ray down as fiction that we're going back to Chicago sooner rather than later. We love you, though, Ray.
Dan, what's the deal with the bandwagon fantasy sports?
So if you were in the Firsty Club, you are familiar with our Picks League. This year, we are running that Picks League through Bandwagon Fantasy Sports, which is an app for your iPhone. You download the app. You pick 8 teams using a budget out of 110. He doesn't quite have the whole FBS in there. We compete, and then you win. You do not have to be a firstie to participate, but if you want to win the cruiserweight title for being the best picker on As For Football, you do have to be in the firstie club. So join us today. I wrote a little explainer on the website. You know, this is kind of like a strategic partnership. We liked Alan from Bandwagon Sports. We think he's got a good idea. As it grows, we're hoping that we grow with him. So, you know, help us, help Alan, and have fun with us. That's the pitch.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Favorite thing, gentlemen.
Yeah, man, I'm going to close with a little pitch for Roundtable, even though Rob talked about it. You know, we got real football this weekend. We had the Witty Mitty on to talk about Navy's game in Ireland. It was a fun discussion, even though I took the Irish minus 20.5. We're also doing our picks and locks of the week on Patreon. So if you're a patron, look for that. That's coming out probably Thursday or Friday. Rob, you owe me your picks, by the way, even though I know you made them on the show. I really enjoyed Roundtable this week. And if you're only listening to this show, this is my commercial for Roundtable.
Yeah. Like I said, I put my picks in the drive. The lines moved. So I think Vegas is eavesdropping on us because they pushed them up by half a point on both of them. But either way, I'll double down on what Dano just said. Like, Roundtable is kind of a labor of love. We hit our stride last year. We got the format correct, and we're starting to get the right kind of rhythm through the show. And hope you guys check it out. And again, with Bandwagon Fantasy Sports, the other half of Alan's business is he does small business loans. So if you're a small business or an entrepreneur and you need some money, like, join his program and then say, oh, by the way, I saw that you do this, you know, and then that may be a way to pivot into a conversation that can get you some funding if you need it. So again, check out the Roundtable if you haven't. We work pretty hard to bring that one to you too. But as always, we want to, you know, beat the crap out of Navy. And I think their first beating that is going to happen is going to be this Saturday in Dublin.
So, I'm sorry, Rob. Just one last thing, just to give Ray the last word. He says, just think of me as a gloomy little rain cloud. Okay, Ray.
All right, Ray.
We'll give you that.
That's fair.
Dan's going to have fun with Photoshop on that one this week. Hey, gents, thanks for making time this week. Listeners, thank you for making time. Thank you for listening to three guys talk about Army football. So, appreciate you. Appreciate your support. Check us out on social media and make sure to check out our other podcasts that we're pushing. So with that, go Army. And for this week, go Notre Dame. Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to firebarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more. Or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.